Have you ever heard the word discombobulating? Fear can discombobulate you. It can throw you into a panic. It can make you so you don't know which way to turn or what to do. And when you start to fear, if you don't fear God, then you're going to lose all your sense of balance and direction. We're going to talk about the fear of God versus the fear of man today as we look at God's precepts for life. Come to what I consider the saddest chapters in the book of Jeremiah. I mean, that's the way to start out a program, isn't it? Hey, we're going to study the saddest chapters in the book of Jeremiah. And yet they are chapters that God put there so that you and I could learn his precepts for life. And through that precepts, through those precepts, get understanding and hate every false way. We're in Jeremiah chapter 40 through 44 this week. Last week, we looked at Jeremiah chapter 35 to 39. And when we looked at those chapters, we saw basically three principles, and I want to give them to you. And the first one was that people want prayer. I mean, when they're in trouble, when they're frightened, they want prayer. When they don't know what to do, when they can't handle the situation, they want prayer. They want prayer, but they don't want interference from God. The second thing that we saw is that leadership is crucial. Everything rises and falls on leadership. It can make or destroy a nation or a group of people. And if you've read on with me in Jeremiah chapter 40 to 44, you already know what I'm talking about. But we're going to go through those chapters verse by verse, and you're going to see what happens when a people are afraid or when they're led by leaders who are afraid and who do not fear God. The third thing that we saw last week as we looked at it is that we as individuals, listen carefully, must take a stand for justice, for truth, first of all, for truth, for justice, for righteousness. We must take a stand even if it costs us our freedom, even if it costs us our welfare, and even if it costs us our life. Because if you and I don't take a stand in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation in which we're living with these people in darkness and going farther and farther away from God, then where's the light going to be? Where's the one that's going to restrain evil? Now, between cutting that program and cutting this program, many things happened in the United States of America just in one quick week. In one quick week, what we heard was we heard that President Obama went to a meeting, and it was called a human rights campaign meeting. But it was a meeting that was a gathering of gays and lesbians and transgenders and bisexual people. And he stood before them, and this is what he said. For nearly 30 years, you've advocated on behalf of those without a voice. That's not easy. For despite the real gains that we've made, there are still laws to change and still hearts to open. When we say that there are laws to change, then we're saying society's changed or something's changed or the laws that were in the past were not valid laws. And so those laws need to be done away with. He said there are still fellow citizens, perhaps neighbors, even loved ones, good and decent people who hold fast to to outworn arguments and old attitudes, who fail to see your families like their families, who would deny you the rights most Americans take for granted. And that's painful and it's heartbreaking. In other words, what he's saying is we need to reshape the thinking of America so that America accepts homosexuality, bisexuality, and transgender changes in that as something that is perfectly acceptable and perfectly normal. Now, if we do that, if we accept that, then what we have to realize is we are going against the clear teaching of the Word of God. And as I say that, I want you to know that adultery is not acceptable. Sex outside of marriage and the Word of God is not acceptable. And it's included in those sins where God says, let no one deceive you. Don't be deceived. Fornicators, and that's adulterers, people having sex outside of marriage, fornicators, adulterers, he says, homosexuals, effeminate, etc., have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So if we buy that, then what we're doing is we're not standing for truth. Why would we do that? Well, the other thing that he said in that speech was, the hate crimes legislation had passed the House, and as soon as it got to his desk, he was going to sign it in, so therefore those people didn't have to fear anymore. Fear what? Fear the criticism, fear the ostracism, or fear the fact that there are people that think that their lifestyle is detrimental to them. So that would mean that eventually on this program, somehow, if anybody complained or got on my case, then I could not mention what the Bible says about homosexuality or about adultery or about any sin or about the way to Jesus Christ, because it would be considered a hate crimes speech. Not only that, but in that same week, what happened also was the White House came out against Fox News Network. And as you read it in the Christian Science Monitor, what they said was, they said that the White House did not like what they were hearing was happening in Fox News. Now, when you stop and think about that, it's the first time I've ever heard it said that they are not a legitimate news network. If they're not legitimate, can you get rid of them because they're illegitimate? Can you declare them illegitimate? Now, why am I bringing these things up? Because you're going to hear this program at a later date. You're going to listen to these truths at a later date. I'm bringing them up because you and I need to understand that we are living in epical times. We are living in difficult times. And we are living in times where you better know what it means to fear God, because the fear of man brings a snare. Now, Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 21, talking about the last days, said this, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves. You just think about the tsunamis and that perplexity, just for instance. Then it says in verse 26, men fainting from fear. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things that are coming upon the world. What we're headed for is very, very difficult times. And precious one, it is my goal, it is my passion that you be ready and prepared for the days ahead. And Jeremiah, I think really that it is the sovereignty of God that you and I are studying the book of Jeremiah at this time. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 40, because remember, in Jeremiah chapter 39, Jerusalem is destroyed. And you say, what could be worse? You're saying that these chapters are sadder than the destruction of Jerusalem. Yes, they are. And you'll see why they are even sadder. Because Jeremiah has been prophesying since the 13th year of Josiah. It is now 586 BC in Jeremiah 39. He has been prophesying for 41 years. For 41 years, he's been telling them about this time that is coming. He's been telling them that God is going to destroy Jerusalem, and that he is going to bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, across and over to Jerusalem, and that he is going to besiege the city. And he does it first in 605 BC, then he does it in 597 BC and takes 10,000 captive. And then in Jeremiah 39, we're in 586 BC, and it has finally come to pass. Now, when it happens, there's always an aftermath. There's always an aftermath, so to speak, of war. And so what we see in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1, is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah after Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah. It says, when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. Now, you and I have already studied, and we know that there's a short chapter in Jeremiah about the good figs and the bad figs. And the good figs are the ones that are going to be exiled into Babylon and there to settle down and there to build and to plant and to have houses and to pray for the prosperity and the goodness of Babylon, because that's where they're going to live for 70 years. And so he tells them what they're to do. He calls those the good figs. He leaves the bad figs there in Jerusalem. Now, when you see Jeremiah being led away with the exiles that are on their way to Babylon, you can know that he is considered a good fig. But as we saw last week, Nebuchadnezzar knows about Jeremiah, and he gives an order to the captain of the bodyguard, and that is, you take care of Jeremiah. Whatever Jeremiah wants, Jeremiah can have. If Jeremiah wants to stay in the land, he can stay in the land. If he wants to come to Babylon, he can come to Babylon. You take care of him. Why? Because Jeremiah's a man that fears God more than he fears the face of man. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. I cannot tell you how important I believe these lessons are. And in the sovereignty of God, God has me teaching Jeremiah right now. I mean, I have been going through since for about 10 years, I've been going through the whole Old Testament teaching. And it's just like a clashing of cymbals to get people's attention, you know, to be like a climax, an attention getter. And what he has done is he has brought Jeremiah and the times that we're living in together to make this big sound to get our attention. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 40, he's going to tell us about the word of the Lord that came. And what he does is in the next verse, he shifts and he tells us the word of the Lord, but he gives it to us through this captain of the guard. Watch it in Jeremiah chapter 40. Now, those of you that just happened in the sovereignty of God to find this program need to know that you can go to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, and you can get a study guide that goes along with this, and you can study the Word of God with us. Precept Ministries International is dedicated to establishing people in God's Word, and to help you discover truth for yourself, to help you go deeper with others, and to help you disciple others. And if we ever needed that, we need it now so that we're able to stand in the days ahead and not fear the face of man, but fear God. Okay, so he says, now the captain of the bodyguard, verse 2, had taken Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God promised this calamity against this place. Now, how did he know that? Well, Daniel was in Babylon. And who else was in Babylon? Ezekiel was in Babylon since 597. And Daniel's reading Jeremiah's letters. He knows how long the captivity is going to be. And all the exiles are there. And they know the message that Jeremiah has brought. And they know that that this calamity has come from God. I mean, they're a country at this point that has enough sense to recognize this. He says, and the Lord brought it on. The Lord has brought it on and done just as he promised. Just as he promised. In other words, God speaks, and as Jeremiah chapter 1 says, he watches over his word to fulfill it. So the Lord has brought it on just as he promised. He says, because you people sinned against the Lord. He said, you sinned against God, and you did not listen to his voice. Therefore, this has happened to you. Now, there's something to be learned here. And what he's saying is, when you and I know that this is the way that we're to walk in it, and we don't walk in it, then we bring God's judgment on ourselves. This is why I shared with you what was happening in the United States of America. You cannot muzzle the mouth of people that are going to speak truth from the Word of God and not get in trouble. And you can look at the history of nations. Yes, the governments have succeeded for a time being in muzzling the mouth of people and in putting to death Christians and martyring them. But listen, that's not the end of the story. There is a God in heaven who is righteous. There is a God who is coming. And just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with his angels and with flaming fire. And he's going to destroy those who destroyed his people. God is in charge. God is on his throne. Yes, we're going to suffer. But you and I have to know this, that God always judges sin, and he always judges according to his word. He says, but behold, this is the captain now of the bodyguard, behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If you would prefer to come with me to Babylon, he says, come along, and I will look after you. I will take care of you. But if you would prefer not to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, The whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right for you to go. And Jeremiah was still not going back. He just stood there. He didn't go anyplace. Then he said to him, go on then to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or go anywhere that seems right for you. So the captain of the bodyguard gave Jeremiah a ration and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Mizpah, and he went to Gedaliah and the son of Ahikam, and he stayed with him among the people who were in the land. He made his decision to stay with the people. And what you're going to see this week as we go through the Word of God, you're going to see how terribly, terribly sad it was, beloved, but how Jeremiah, in a sense, you just sense that he cannot leave these people. He knows the people in Babylon are going to be all right, but he cannot leave these people. So catch the order of command now. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has wiped out Israel, wiped out Judah. He's taken them into captivity. He's left some in the land. So under Nebuchadnezzar, what you have is you have Gedaliah. Gedaliah was the son of the guy who, under the days of Josiah, found the word of God that had gotten lost in the house of God. So here he is. He's a godly man. And you find that, Gedaliah is going to, stay there, and he's going to rule over the people. Now, as you read, and this is your assignment for this week, I want you to go ahead and get ahead of me. I want you to read, Jeremiah 40, 41, 42, 43, and 44. Just sit down and read it. It reads like a novel. It really does. It reads like a good, good story, a good, good, sad story. But what you're going to find out is that it is Jeremiah that is going to stand between the people and God and call them not to fear man, not to fear the face of man, not to fear the nations, not to fear the powers, but to fear God. You see, in any situation, you and I need to understand that the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. The fear of man brings a snare. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you want the wisdom, is knowing what to do, having the knowledge and being able to apply that knowledge to the situations of life. And that's what you're going to see this week as we look at these scriptures and as we look at what it means to be afraid and to let fear control you or to fear God. And you're going to see the contrast as you look at Jeremiah, a man who for 41 years has feared God. It hasn't been easy. He's been panicked. It's been hard. He's not been allowed to get married. He's found himself put in a cistern, sinking in mud. He's given a loaf of bread a day. He thinks he's going to die. He begs the king to please not put him back into that dungeon, but let him be in the courthouse. But he goes through all those trials, and yet there's one overriding, strengthening factor, stabilizing factor, and that is that Jeremiah fears God. Jeremiah's trust is in the Lord, and Jeremiah's trust is God. What is your trust? We'll talk about it more in the days to come.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Thank you so much, beloved, for studying with us. Thank you for wanting to know His precepts for life. Because remember, Psalm 119 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Now listen carefully. And I hate every false way. There are things that we are to hate. We are to hate that which destroys another person. We are to hate that which is false. Why? Because it is false. Because it is not true. And it's only truth that sets you free. Truth comes from God. A lie comes from the father of lies, John 8:44, that you are of your father, the devil. He is a murderer. He has abided not in the truth. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. He destroys. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, said this. Jesus answered and said, see to it that no one misleads you. Watch what you're thinking. Watch who you're listening to. Check it all out. See that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, I'm the anointed one, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Why? For these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but these are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. False teachers that are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because lawlessness is increased. In other words, the laws that were once righteous and just are done away with. Most people's love will grow cold. And the one who endures to the end will be saved. What is God's precept for life for you today? It's don't be frightened, don't be shaken. Know God, persevere in that truth, even if it costs you your life. Because after all, if they take your life, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, and you'll never die again. Persevere, beloved. Don't be frightened.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.